Today's daf is Erevin daf Pei Aleph, the last full daf of the seventh parak of Maseches Erevin. We left off at the Mishnah in the bottom of daf Pei Beis, which records in Machlokas whether whole loaves of bread are necessary for the Erev, or you could use even partial loaves, or perhaps even other foods are also okay. And the Gemara is going to define exactly what's called a whole loaf of bread and discusses which grains you can use to make an Erev. Then the Mishnah in the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to have Machlokas where the person can join in an Erev by giving money to a storekeeper and having the storekeeper contribute the food on his behalf, and that's going to lead into a discussion of somebody making an Erev for another person without his consent, without being Modiah the person, and a more general discussion of whether Ma'os Konos, whether transferring money, ever makes a Kinyan. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have a discussion of the rule that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in Hilchos Erevin, and that whenever Rabbi Yehuda used the word Bameh, he's just explaining and not arguing on an earlier Tana. Those are the basic topics of today's daf. Now, one thing I just wanted to finish up from yesterday, we mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf that the shear of pas for Eruvi Chatzeros is a grogros l'kolecha ve'echad mibnei chatzer. Every single participant has one grogros of pas, but once you have merubim, once you have 18 or more participants in the Eruv, then you only need mazon shtei sudos. So there is a machlokas, what is mazon shtei sudos based on shear kebetza? Rambam holds in Hilchos Erevin Perek Aleph Halachatas that shtei sudos is kishesh beitzim. Tosos holds that it's kishmona beitzim. Both deos accorded in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Samaches. Mishabura says lechatchila we need to be machmir and be ma'ariv with shmona beitzim. But the avid we could be making like the Shita Sarambam that six eggs is enough. The size of six eggs is enough. This machlokas. Based on this machlokas, we have to determine what the shear of a grogros is. According to Tosos, that Muslim beis suudos is shmona beitzim, a grogros is 4/9 of a beitza. According to the Rambam, that Muslim beis suudos is sheish beitzim, a grogros is 1/3 of a beitza. So since in Masechah Shabbos we see that the shear of grogros on Daf Tzadi Aleph is more than a shear kazayis, the Gemara in Shabbos Tzadi Aleph seems to say that a grogros is more than a kazayis. So it turns out, according to the Rambam, a shear kazayis has to be less than 1/3 of a beitza. So Tosos proves that their shita must be correct, because in Yuma Daf Pei Amud Aleph it says that the beis habliya, when a person swallows, he can hold in his throat a kebeitzas tarnagolas. And the Gemara in Krisos Yudalit says the beis habliya could hold kishnei zesin, two kizesin. So you see that a kibetza is kishnei zesin. And that's what the Beis Yosef writes in within Shitas Tosos and Maseches Chulin as well. If a shir kibetza is kishnei zesin, how could it be that a kizayis is pachos from a shlish beitza, is less than 1/3 of a beitza? So that's how Tosus proves that their shita must be correct, that the Rambam shita must be incorrect, that it can't be that a shear of a grogros is less than a shear of a kazayis is less than a grogros, and a grogros itself is only 1/3 of a beitza. We see that a kazayis is a half of a beitza. So the Yehuda tries to resolve the problem. The Yehuda in the Tshuva Madura Kama or Chaim Simon Lamed Ches proves that the sugya in Yuma, where we say that the beis habliya could hold a full beitza, was talking about a beitza bili klipasa, without the shell. So it's because over there we're talking about tumas ochlin, that la halacha were mishar the beitza without its shell. So a half of a kebeitza without its shell, that's a shir kazayis. And that's what we say the beis habliya could hold shnei zesim. Our sugya, we talk about shir kazayis pachos mishlish beitza, that a kazayis is less than 1/3 of a beitza, that's when we're talking about a beitza bikli pasa, where we measure the yeshir chalav, mem gimel beitza mechomesh, is a beitza bikli pasa. And he writes in the name of Maril in Seder Agada, and he quotes also from the Shla, that a beitza mechza im haklipos is the same as shtei beitzim bili haklipos. 1.5 eggs with the shell is the same as 2 eggs without the shell. So now, based on that, the Kuntros HaShiurim asks on the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Pesach, it's in Tav Pei Vav, Sifkat Nalef writes that a shir kazayis is chatzi beitza beninis im klipasa, is a half of the kibetza together with the shell. So he asks, how can you hold this way? A chatzi beitza, we are always measured with a beitza b'li klipasa. And if we're mishar a beitza b'klipasa, the shear should be a shlish beitza. So that's what Rav Chaim Noah writes in Shiurei Torah, that you don't need to be machmir to eat a shear chatzi beitza b'klipasa. That's already way too much. In the Binyan Sion, the Tshuvas of the Aruch Lener, Chelik Pei, Simon Lamed, he quotes the Nodav Yehuda, and he says that he doesn't agree with the Nodav Yehuda's Yishuv over here, that it depends Bikli Pasa, not Bikli Pasa, because whenever we say Shir Kebetza B'poskim, it's always a Beitza Bikli Pasa, except for by Tumas Ochlin. So if you're going to be Meshar Shir Kezayis as a, by a Beitza Bilikli Pasa, then the Poskim should have said so explicitly. And no one mentions anything like that. No one says that the Shir Kazayas, when we say Kazayas is a Chatzi Beitza, that it's about a Beitza B'likli Pasa. It can't be that they would all leave out this Chiddush. And therefore he paskins based on this, that according to our Sugi, you need to be Machmir, eat Matzah, Kashir, Chatzi Beitza B'likli Pasa. And apparently that's what Moshe Feinstein held as well in the Torah Vahara, that you have to eat a Shir Chatzi Beitza for Matzah im klipasa. Okay, that was just a lot of the halachas of the shir of a kazayis come emerge from this sugya. So let's see the Mishnah on the bottom of the Pei and Beis. Bakol ma'arvin mishtafin, you can use any types of food or drink to make an eruv or a shituf, chutz min amayim min amelech, except for water and salt. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, it's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Rabbi Shua omer kikar ueruv afilu ma'afasav uprusa ein ma'arvin ba, that you have to use a full loaf of bread and only bread for an eruv, and even if you have a very large piece of bread, but it's not a full loaf of bread, then you're not allowed to use it as an eruv. Kikar ki isur v'hu shalim marvin ba. But a very small loaf of bread, and it happens to be a shalim, it happens to be a full loaf of bread, then it's perfectly fine. You're allowed to use it for an eruv. Why is it that everyone agrees you're not allowed to use mayim u'melech? What is it about mayim u'melech that make it unusable for an eruv? So Rashi and many of the other Rishonim explain that mayim u'melech are not considered mazon. So since eruv chatzeros works by through the idea of a person being koveya his dira, where his mizonos is, so he's joining in the mizonos, and that's considered his dira. So the bnei chatzer give their mizonos to one house. It's ki'ilu. They all live in that house, and that they all share one rishus, so you can only be ma'ariv with something that's actually called mazon ha'adam. Rabbeinu Yohanan adds that mayim u'melech are not considered are not chashuv because people are not makbid to charge for them. If someone wants, if someone needs water, someone needs salt, you never charge for it. You just give it for free. So you see that it's not considered a davar chashuv at all. That's why mayim u'mazon, it's not even a discussion. We certainly cannot be married with mayim u'mazon. The whole question is, do you dafka need lechem, or do you not dafka need lechem? Now, the halachos ketanos is an interesting chiddush, and the tshuvas halachos ketanos chelik beis and reish pei beis. He says, if that's true, that mayim is not a mazon, it's not something that nourishes the body at all, so l'chora, someone who drinks water on Yom HaKippurim is not chayiv kares, because in Yuma, the Pe'al, it says someone drinks tzir or murius b'Yom HaKippurim is patur mikares, because you're only chayiv kares for something that's meshiv nefesh, something that actually energizes a person, that somehow gives a person some strength. And these things are not meshiv as a nefesh. So if you can say the same thing about water, that it's not chashuv, it's not a mazon at all, so then maybe you wouldn't be chayiv kares for drinking on Yom Kippur. And therefore, you're still not allowed to drink it on Yom Kippur, so what does this help? So he suggests, therefore, maybe a chola who needs to drink on Yom Kippur, if you could give him water without having to give him shar mashkim, since there's no chayiv kares by giving him water, it would be the same thing as being machil pachos mikashir. When you give someone pachos mikashir, what's the advantage of giving pachos mikashir? Is that there's no onesh on the pachos mikashir. Chatzi shir is asur min haTorah, still nisidoraisa, but there's no onesh, there's no kares on the pachos mikashir. So that just like we give a chola pachos mikshir, maybe we should give a chola mayim if he can handle mayim. So that's what he suggests. That's the tshuva of the halachas ketana. So many of the gedolei poskim disagree with halachos katanos, and in fact, in the actual maftechos to the tshuvas halachos katanos, it has a note that this tshuva is only the pulpula bialma, that this is just stam a discussion, but it's not something that should be relied on lemaisa. So the sefer Shar Hazakenim points out what the problem is. He has rayos peruros not to be samech on this, because he says even though mayim is not mazon, but it still takes away the inoy hanefesh, and therefore it's also min haTorah on Yom Kippurim. In the Tshuvas Machne Chaim, he says a cholah that the doctor tells him to drink either water or milk on Yom Kippurim for his illness, is allowed to drink milk. You don't have to prefer water. He says you only find a chiluk between a kamos, between the quantity, chatzik, pachos mikshir, and a shir shalom. We never find a chiluk in the echus of the food that we give a cholah. It doesn't make a difference. In Nishmas Avram, Dr. Abraham writes in Tafresh Yud Beis that he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman that there was a cholah that had a kidney stone and he has to drink, but he doesn't have to eat. So it doesn't really matter what he drinks. He could drink water medically. It's absolutely fine if he drinks water. So yes, Rav Shlomo Zalman, should Yudavka give him water, or is it okay to give him other drinks that have calories also? Give him things that will give him some energy, and then he won't be margish the fast as much. He won't feel like he's fasting. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said he can drink milk, he could drink Gatorade, he could drink fruit juice, whatever he wants. It doesn't have to dafka be mayim, and it's based on the sheet of the Or Sameach in the 14th parak of Ma'acholos Asuros. Or Sameach holds that someone has to eat on Yom Kippur instead of eating lechem yavesh, he could eat basar shamein, and he's not over anything. That's perfectly fine. We're never mechalik between the quality of the food, just the quantity of the food. Plus, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, Yom Kippur is a yantif, so you don't need to be mitzamsim in the echus of the shtia or the maichel, because it's a yantif, so enjoy it. You should, once you're eating, you should eat food, that's l'kavod the yantif. That's the sheet of the Or Sameach that Reb Chaim held very, very strongly. Reb Chaim held that you don't feed a chola on Yom Kippur, pachos mikashir, only for a yoledes. He thought that was only for a woman in labor wearing the pachos mikshir, but otherwise you don't feed a chol pachos mikshir, because once a person gets to the point of chol shiyesh bo sakana, you just have to give them the full achila. Everything becomes mutter. It's complete hutra for a chol shiyesh bo sakana. Rav Shechter just told me yesterday that Rav Salvechik said that when his father took his first rabbanus, Rav Chaim made him take a shavua that he's going to follow that psak, that any time a chol has to eat in Yom Kippur, that he's always going to give him the full shir. He's never going to make him do a pachos mikshir. He said he saw they put together recently tshuvas from the Aruch HaShulchan, different tshuvas the Aruch HaShulchan wrote to different people and have been published in different places. They put it all together recently and said that the minhag of the Aruch HaShulchan when it came to paskening for a chola on fast days was that if he saw someone coming on a fast day to ask a shayla, he would, if it was one of the smaller fast days, not Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, the Aruch HaShulchan would run out of the house to go to the guy before the guy would even ask the question and say, go home and eat. And he said if it was Tisha B'Av, then he would wait till the guy arrived to ask the shayla, but before the guy actually asked the shayla, he would say, go home and eat. And then if it was Yom Kippur, he would let the guy present the shayla, and then he would tell him, go home and eat. That was the madregos of how he would do it. Obviously, eating Yom Kippur is a very serious thing. Reb Chaim used to say that he was not a mekel in Achilub Yom HaKippurim, he was a machmir in Pikuach Nefesh. So that was his attitude toward these kinds of shaylas. So says the Gemara now, Tanina Chadazimna, we already learned once, B'chol Ma'avrim that you could make an Erev or a Shituf with anything except for with Mayim Umelech, except for the water and salt. So Amar Rabbi La Fukim in Rabbi Shua Damar Kikar in Midyakri Nilo Kamash Malon Bakol. Now the point of the beginning of our Mishnah is to tell me not like Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua says that he could only use a loaf of bread, so we want to say that no, you don't have to only use a loaf of bread, even Bakol you could use anything else as long as it's not Mayim Umelech. So Yisvei Abaye that you could always make, you can make with anything in a ruvi chatzeros, with anything you can make a shituf emavuos. We only have to use a bread for an eruv chatzeros. So man shamalei damar pas in midiachrina lo. Who's the one that holds you have to use only bread, you can't use anything else? Rabbi Yeshua. It's Rabbi Yeshua says you can only, and v'katani bakol. And you see, it still says Bakol. So how could you tell me that the whole Bakol is coming to tell me La Fuke Mid Rabbi Shua, that Kikar and Midiachrini, that who said Kikar and Midiachrini alone were coming to say that you could use other things? Apparently, the word Bakol could mean only bread also, because it says Bakol even when Rabbi Shua is the author. Sa Elo Amar Rabba Bar Bachana La Fuke Mid Rabbi Shua Damar Shlema in Prusalo Kamash Mulan Bakol. When it says in our Mishnah Bakol Ma'arvin, the point is not what types of food you can use. The point is whether it needs to be dafka ishlema. Rabbi Yeshua says that it has to be a shlema, it has to be a full loaf, and we're coming to emphasize bakol, that it doesn't have to be a full loaf, even a partial loaf. Uprusa my time alone. Why can't you use a prusa? Why does Rabbi Yeshua think that there's a problem with using a half loaf of bread, let's say if it's very large? I'm Rabbi Yossi ben Shalom, Rabbi Mishum Eva. It's because of Eva, everyone has to contribute to the Eruv. So one guy is going to contribute to the Eruv, he's going to give a full loaf of bread. And the other guy is going to contribute to the Eruv, he's going to give a half a loaf of bread. The one that gave a full loaf of bread is going to have animosity toward the other fellow. Why do I have to give something nice and you're giving a piece of garbage? So Amrle Ravacha Bred Rav Ravashi Irvu Kulon Beprusos Mahu. So what about if everyone participates by contributing a prusa, would that make it any better? Amrle Shami Yachzu Davar LeKulkulo. No, we're afraid that next time not everyone's going to give a prusa, one guy's going to give a shalem, and then it's going to be weiter a problem of Eva. So Asemes asks a sharp question. So Asemes says, so why don't, if the whole chashash is that when everyone gives prusos, is Shem Yachzu Davar LeKulkulo, that in another week one guy's going to give a prusa, another guy's going to give a shlema, and it's going to lead to machlokes, why didn't they make a takana why did they make a takana that you have to use a shlema? They should have been more makel and made a takana that you have to use a prusa. If they'd make a takana that you have to use a prusa, that would have solved all the problems. Then you don't have to worry. Shem yachzu davar LeKulkulo, and it could be and we could be much more makel, and then prusa is acceptable. People don't have to go around looking for a shlema. So the Sfasema says that they were not misakein that a pas shlema should not work for an eruv. Because any pas shlema you could divide in half, and that would then be kosher. So it would be silly to make a din that a pas shlema shouldn't work, because it could just be kosher by breaking it. So then we'd have to be choshesh. Maybe one guy will give a pas shlema, and will be maybe the meriva they'll come to fight. So they came to this conclusion that the best thing is that you can't use a prusa at all, and then it will never come to any sort of machlokas. Now, how do we paskin over here in terms of this machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar? So the Rishonim, all right, even though we learned generally speaking on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and we repeated it many, many times throughout the Masechta, that Halacha Kedivrei Mekel Be'eruv, that we always follow the more lenient opinion of Be'eruv, but in our Sugya we pass like Rabbi Yeshua, you can only use a Pas Shlema for Eruv Echatzeros. Why? So five different reasons that are given by the Rishonim and Achronim, why we paskin, why we go L'chumra Dafke in this din. First of all, Klalei HaPsak, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, generally speaking, throughout the rest of Shas, Halachas Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer. That's in Seder Tanan V'Amoraim. We always pass on Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Elazar. Second of all, whenever it's Rabbi Eliezer against anybody, Rabbi Elazar Shamutehu. So we always reject the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. We always pass on like the other opinion, no matter who it is. Third of all, the Gemara has a whole give and take within the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. That's what makes it sound like Rabbi Yeshua more mistaver, and that we should paskin that way. Fourth, the Gemara later on is going to say that Rebbe explains the sheet of Rabbi Shua why you can't use a prusa, and from the fact that it explains the sheet, not later on, we just saw it, from the fact that Rebbe explains the sheet of Rabbi Shua about Eva, and he goes out of his way to explain this sheeta, sounds like he held this way la halacha, and we're going to see the Rav Chista holds that what do you do if you have a prusa? As sort of Chista says, you could hold it, you could put a toothpick in it and put it back together. Why is he giving this etza? Must be because he paskins like Rabbi Yeshua. So all the indications are that even though generally speaking we don't paskin the churma in Erevin, but dafka over here we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. But Rabbi Yeshua says this in regards to an Erev Chatzeros. That Erev Chatzeros you need to use a shlema. What about a shitufei mavuos? Now shitufei mavuos you don't need to use bread at all. You could use other types of food. But if you're going to use bread for a shitufei mavuos, does it need to be a shlema? Or do we say that when you're using bread, it has to be that kind of chashva kind of bread, or can it even be a prusa? So this is a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Erevin doesn't say anything. It just says mishtatvim bein bepas bein bekol davar machel. He doesn't say anything about not being allowed to be mishtativ beprusa. So probably he holds that you're allowed to do shitufei mavuos even with a prusa. That's how the Bir Halacha understands the Rambam. It's Mishin Samach Vav. The Bir Halacha understands the Rambam that way. However, the Gaon Yaakov is medayik from Rashi, where Rashi says mishtatvim bnei amavoi bipas prusa. So where the Rashi writes that the svaras to be mechalik between eruvi chatzeros and eruvi tchumin. By eruvi chatzeros is a chashash eva, and that's why you can only use bread that's a shalim, as opposed to eruvi tchumin. There's no chashash eva, and that's why you could use any type of food you want. So it turns out shitufei mavuos, where Rabbi Yeshua holds you're allowed to use any type of food you want, so there's no chashash eva. Meaning Rashi explains the whole idea: why is there going to be a chashash eva when you use a prusa? Because everyone's got to use bread. So one guy's going to say, I use a full loaf, why didn't you use a half a loaf? But if you use whatever kind of food you want, then there's no chashash eva, because you could have used anything. So no one's going to, who told you to use a full loaf of bread? No one told you to use bread to begin with. So there's not going to be any sense of eva. So since by shituvei mavuos you could use anything you want, so the chori, you see from there that when it comes to shitufei mavuos, there's not going to be a chashash eva to use a prusa. So we see that you could use even a prusa for a shitufei mavuos. So that's the shitas Rashi, the way the Rishonim understand it. However, the Ritva says that no, you got to use dafka pashlema, because the sugya explains the whole idea of shitufa. The sugya that we're discussing is within the context of shitufa mavuos. So the Ritva understands that this whole sugya goes not only about Erev Chatzeros, it's all about a shitufa mavuos as well. That's one fundamental discussion in the Rishonim. So let's assume nowadays that let's assume we paskin like the Shitas HaRambam that you're allowed to use even a prusa for shitufa mavuos. So what do we do nowadays when we make a community Erev? We leave it in the shul. When you make an Eruvi Chatzeros, it needs to be left in a Beis Dira, it needs to be left in a place where somebody lives. Why do we leave a community Erev in the shul? So the Acharonim explain, we leave in the shul because what we're really doing is a Shitufei Mavuos, and we're being Samech on the Shitufei Mavuos really for our Erev, like it's one and the same. That Migo, that it works for the Shitufei Mavuos, it works for the Erev Chatzeros as well. So there's a discussion, the Bir Halacha and Simin Shin Samach Vav, that since the Shitufei Mavuos, you could use a prusa, so maybe our Erev could also be a prusa. Maybe we don't have to have full matzahs to use for the Erev. Now the Ramah doesn't say explicitly, Bir Halacha points out, the Ramah never says explicitly that you could use prusa for an Erev, midin migo, like he says it about putting the Erev in the shul. So from the fact that he doesn't say it explicitly leads you to believe that you're not supposed to use a prusa, but it could just be he doesn't mention it because he holds like the shitos that shitufei mavuos, you can't use a prusa in the first, even for shitufei mavuos, you can't use a prusa. Maybe he holds that you need a shalim for shitufei mavuos as well. Okay, but that's a discussion. Generally speaking, we're makbid to use full matzahs, so it's not so we don't have a prusa that we're making the eruv with. Okay, says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochum and Shalom, Litle mena kadei chalasa kadei demua ma'arvin loba. Let's say the piece of bread is missing. It was a shalim, but then you had to take off the challah, or you had to take off the shear of truma kadei demua 1/100, according to many Rishonim, is what the Gemara is referring to. So then you could still consider it a shalim. Va'atani kadei demua ma'arvin loba kadei chalasa ein ma'arvin loba. But we have a brisa that if you take out kadei demua, you can make an erev with it. But if you take out kadei chalasa, you can't make an erev with it. Lo kasha. Habachalas nachtom, habachalas balabayas. Now the difference is what the shir challah is. If you're a balabayas, as we're about to see, the shir challah is a more significant percentage than the shir challah of a nachtom. Ditnan shir challah echad me'asr me'arba. The shir challah of a regular person is 1/24th of the dough. Nowadays we don't do this. We don't measure the shir challah because it doesn't go to a kohen anyway. So we just need to be matir the isa, because the purpose of the shir is to give the kohen a davar chalah. chashuv. But if it's not going to the kohen anyway, so we just take off a piece, just take off a little chunk. So shir chal is echad me'asrim va'arba, ha'osi isa la'atzma, v'isa l'mishto b'do, echad me'asrim va'arba, person's making stam, a dough for himself, or for a party, for a private party, for his child, so then it's 1/24th. But nachtom, shu asalim korbashuk, v'cheni ish asalim korbashuk, echad me'arba m'shvona. But a professional baker, someone who plans on selling their baked goods, takes 1/48th of the dough for challah. So that's the difference. If the bread is missing 1/48th of the bread that you took off for challah, that's still a shalim. But if it's missing 1/24th, then that's a significant amount to be missing, and that's not a shalim. That's considered to be a prusa that cannot be used as an eruv. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim over here when we say chalasa, you take off kedei chalasa, kedei dimua. So what does that mean? Does that mean only if you actually were mafrish challah from it? The reason this loaf of bread is missing this 1/48th is because you were dafka mafrish challah from it, or it just means no? If it's missing a little piece of the bread and it's the amount that you would be mafrish challah, it's 1/48th, but it doesn't mean that you actually were mafrish. You were mafrish challah when it was still a dough before you ever baked it. So the bread was shalem and it was perfectly fine. It wasn't tevel, but a little piece fell off. So the shear that you would use for mafrish challah, that's machlokas rishonim. Many rishonim, Rashi, Tosa seem to assume that we're talking about something that a loaf of bread that was actually tevel for the sake of challah, or it was meduma, and you actually needed to take off this piece in order to make it kosher. That's what Tosa and the Rashi say. That's what's mashma from Lashon the Mishnah, that afilu mafasa v'hu prusa ein ma'arvin ba, that it needs to be shlema legamri, that it needs to be 100% complete. If there's a chisaron kol shehu, it's no good unless there's a good reason for that chisaron, such as you needed to be mafrish challah. However, many other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Rush, hold that the din of ma'arvin bepas, that if it's shir challah or shir dimua is taken from it, that's a shir, but it's not. Doesn't mean that you actually had to have been mafrish challah from it, and that's why it's missing. It means if it's missing that amount, and the truth is, it's meduyak that way from the Lashon the Gemara. It says the Rashba and the Rush point out because it says kidei chalasa, kidei dimua, right? Nitlay mena kidei chalasa, kidei dimua. That sounds like it's a shear, not that you actually took it off for the sake of challah and for the sake of dimua. Now, if you hold kidei dimua is echad mimea, right? So then the Rishonim are bothered by another kasha. Tosus is bothered by another kasha. So what are we saying? If it's missing kidei chalasa, kidei dimua. So kidei chalasa is how much? 1/48. Kedei Dimua is 100. So once you say that Kedei Chalasa is missing from it, that is good enough. So you need to add Kedei Dimua also. That's good enough. Of course that's fine. Of course that's still considered a Shalim. So Tosus Mitarets, that instead of saying that there would have been makom to say that even though kedei dimua is a smaller shear than kedei chalasa, still you would not be able to be ma'ariv if you took off for dimua. Why? Because in isum midumas, what does isum midumas mean? It means that there's truma mixed in with the regular dough. So what? So it's usher to eat? It's only usher for a non-kohen to eat. A kohen's allowed to eat it. But tevel that never had challah taken from it, even a kohen's not allowed to eat. No one's allowed to eat challah that's tevel, dough that doesn't have hafrashas challah. So that's the chiddush. Even though it's missing a kedei dimua, where you could have said, no, why did you take off the dimua? Don't take it off, just give it to a kohen. There's no reason to not make it a shalim. So maybe that's the chiddush, that even so, it's still considered a shalim, that's still considered a viable enough reason to remove the challah. That's obviously assuming tosos l'shitasam, that when we say kedei dimua, it means that you actually took off the truma, that it's not just a shear, but it's what you actually took off. Some of the achronim answer that maybe he's trying to be mechadesh, that even if you have both of the shirim, that if you take off both kedei chalasa and kedei dimua, so it's cumulative, it adds to the others. So that's how the Gaon Yaakov, some of the achronim, suggest to answer why what the chiddush of kedei dimua is once we already have kedei chalasa. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now, very interesting halacha, Amar Rav Chisda, Tafra b'kisem ma'arvin loba. Now let's say you have two halves of a loaf. It used to be a full loaf, but now it's two halves. So you could take a toothpick to hold it together, and then you could make it. You could use it for an eruv. I have a tanya ein ma'arvin loba, but then we have a brisa that says you can't. lo kasha. Hadi yadia tifra, hada lo yadia tifra. If it's recognizable that it's being held together by a toothpick, then it's no good. But if it looks like a shalim, then it is okay. As long as it looks like a shalim, that's going to be okay. So this is in regards to the halachos of making an eruv. What about in regards to other halachos where you need a shalim? The Beis Yosef in Or Chaim Simchuf Samaches quotes from the Rokeach that mikan yesh lumod. From here we can learn also the gabe lecha mishnah, that if a person has two halves of a loaf of bread and he doesn't have a lechem shalem for lechem mishnah, he could be mechabrit with a, he could connect it together with a toothpick or with anything else that will hold it together, so that it doesn't look like it's two pieces of bread, and that would be fine for lechem mishnah. And he says the same would be true legabe another halacha where you need a shalem, but tzias hapas, in general you're always supposed to make a bracha bibotzea on a shlema. If you have a slice of bread in front of you and you have a roll in front of you, and you don't have preference for one type over the other, so you should, or you can eat both of them, so you should be both say, you should make the bracha on the shalem, not on the prusa. So he says, this halacha would apply over here as well, that if it's yet, if you don't have a shalem, you have two pieces, two half loaves, that you could hold together al yaday a toothpick, so that's perfectly fine also, and that's how Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Kuf Samaches Siv Beis. Magen Avraham says, but if it looks like that it's connected together and it's two pieces and it's evident that it's two pieces, then it's not called a shalem. And Magen Avraham says, and by the way, on weekdays you don't need to go through that trouble. Meaning, if you have if let's say you have sliced bread, so you buy bread in the bakery and they slice it for you because they have the slicing machine, so you don't have to take the whole sliced bread and stick a toothpick through the whole thing so that it looks like a shalem before you make your amotzi. It's not, you know, one on a weekday does not have to go through that. So this is the Beis Yosef Shita v'shem the Rokeach. Again, that even for Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, this works. So the Panami Iros just asks in this Rokeach that L'charu, there's a big difference between Eruvi Chatzeros and Lechem Mishnah. Why is it by Eruvi Chatzeros you need a shalem? That's because of a chashash eva, that we don't want someone to look and say, oh, look at that. That guy gave half a loaf and I gave a whole loaf. So if it looks like a whole loaf, that's good enough. But when it comes to Lechem Mishnah, when it comes to Shabbos Lechem Mishnah, L'chora, the toothpick should not work, because you need a real Chibur L'chora to make it a Pashlema, not just Nirikish Shlema. It has nothing to do with what other people think. It's the din that you need a Shalem for Lechem Mishnah. So that's why he's not sure why the Beis Yosef relies on this Rokeach. And so Sefer Shabbos, he points out that maybe the din of Lechem Mishnah, maybe because the din of Lechem Mishnah is not a chovim in a Torah, and even the asmachta, based on the words in the puzzle, Lechem Mishnah, it's not a drasha gemur, it's an asmachta, and the whole tam of the takana is mishum kavod Shabbos. So maybe how do we define what's kavod? Why do we need shlemos? Because of kavod Shabbos. So how do we define kavod? So typically speaking, we define kavod by what people view as kavod. Meaning, what is the Ribbono Shel Olam view? How do I know what the Ribbono Shel Olam views as kavod? So maybe if people would define that as kavod, no one would object to it. So by Erevin, no one would object to it. So then that would be called kavod, legabe ben adam lemakom as well. That's how they say, based on the Minchas Yaakov, there's a truth in the Minchas Yaakov, that if you have a loaf of bread that has like a little bit of tiny, tiny piece missing, so since legabe in Erev, it's called a shalim, there's no eva. So das habrios nochem menu to call it a shalim, das hamakom is nochem menu to call it a shalim, as well. So that's that the same would be true if it's held together by a toothpick as well, that would be called a shalim for Lechem Mishnah. That's the way we seem to paskin. However, some of the Achorim say that Beis Yosef didn't really mean that you could do this l'chadchila. He meant if that's your only option, meaning you're not wasting your time by holding two half loaves together with a toothpick when you don't have a shalim. But obviously, if you have an actual shalim, so then you should use the shalim. Then it's padavar pashut that you should use the full loaf of bread. You shouldn't use the two half loaves held together by a toothpick. The whole chiddush of the Beis Yosef is that it's not a waste of time to hold the two loaves together by a toothpick. You are actually accomplishing something. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Amr Bezer Mishmul Ma'avrim Pasoriz Pasdochen. We can use different types of grains, not wheat, for an eruv. We can use rice and you can use millet, so not real grains. Am maruk v'ledim farshli minei demar shmul bepas oriz ma'arvin pas dochen ein ma'arvin. He says, I from our shmul pas oriz, we can use not pas dochen. Am rav chia baravin am rav ma'arvin bepas adoshim. You can even use lentil bread But didn't they used to throw the lentil bread to the dog? So obviously that's not considered a chash of a bread. No, he just shar minim havia. No, that's only a bread that's mixed together with all different types of minim. That's what they would throw to the dog. As the pasuk in Yecheskel says, when Yecheskel has to make like this machal behema, this very horrible loaf of bread, so he uses all of these different ingredients. Rav Papa Amar Yitzluya Betzoas Adam Havai. No, the problem with Yecheskel's bread was not the ingredients in the bread, it was that it was roasted over a fire of Tzoas Adam. So that's what made it so disgusting. It was human excrement that fueled the fire. So that's what made it inedible. It's not the fact that it was all these ingredients that made it inedible. What does Ugas Sa'orim Tochlena mean? When it says Sa'orim, it doesn't mean that it's only made out of Sa'orim. It was made out of all different sorts of grains. It was a mixture. So why does it call it Sa'orim? No, it should not be vowelized Sa'orim, but Shi'urim, indicating that even this bad bread was rationed in preparation of the siege, that's how bad things were getting. Rav Papa Amar Arivasa Kariva Sa'orim Velo Kariva Schitim. Rav Papa says, no, it was shaped like barley bread, even though it had all of these different ingredients in it, but the shape of the bread was like barley bread. That's why it's called Sa'orim. Those are the two possibilities of why we would call it Sa'orim, even though the Pasuk says explicitly it was made with so many different ingredients. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar holds, you can give money to a chenveni, to a storekeeper, to a baker, and have him contribute the food to the Erev on your behalf. But Chum Mamrim, lo zach l'mosa. The Chum say, no, giving money doesn't do the job. Now they agree that if you were to give it to someone who's not a storekeeper, stam, to your friend, you give money, that would work, because then it's keilu you're making your friend a shaliach to go buy food to put in your eruv. Shein marvin lo adam elam midaito. But a chenveni, where you're not making him your shliach, it's not going to work. So we assume that you're trying to it's you're not being somech on him that you made him your shliach. So the money is not going to be kona your chelik in the eruv. So you don't have a smichus das, and he would need to come and tell you that he was kona on your behalf. He can't even choose to become your shliach because he would need to go back and inform you. So that's why it doesn't work. Amrav Yehuda b'med var mamurim be'eruvei tchumin, aval be'eruvei chatzeros ma'arvan l'dayto v'shelo l'dayto. V'vishazach l'adam shelo b'fanav, v'inichav l'adam shelo b'fanav. This whole issue is only be'eruvei tchumin. But be'eruvei chatzeros, sure they could join the Erev without telling you, because it's zach l'adam shelo b'fanav. Whatever, it's beneficial for you to be involved in the Erev chatzeros. Now you're going to be allowed to carry. When it comes to eruvei tchumin, it's not purely beneficial for you to be involved in the eruvei tchumin, because whatever you're gaining in your tchum Shabbos in one direction, you're losing in the other direction. So my time is Rabbi Lazar. Hello, Mashach. So says Gemara, what's the svar for Rabbi Eliezer? Why does Rabbi Lazar say that when you contribute money, that's good enough? You give money to the chenveni, that's good enough. You never were kona the food that you're contributing to the eruv. Where's the kinyan? Some Rav Nachum, Rav Baravua, aso Rabbi Lazar kedalit prakam bashana. So he explains that Rabbi Lazar makes the kinyan of the eruv the halachic equivalent of buying meat in those special four times of the year where we try to promote easier sale of meat, easier purchases of meat. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah, it tells us about these four times of the year, which are Erev Pesach, Erev Shavuos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Yom Tov HaAchron Shel Chag. So in Galil, Erev Yom Kippurim as well, when they would eat a lot of meat. The Tanan, B'dalet Prakim Elu, Mashchitin Asatabach Bal Korcho. During these four times of the year, we need meat to be so available. You can even, let's say the Shochet has this large animal, and you just want to buy one little cut of meat. You can say, I need you to shuck the animal. He says, no, I'll wait till I have more customers. I'm not going to shuck the animal, you're just buying one little piece of meat. You can force him to shech the whole animal just for your one little piece of meat. Afilu shor shava elav dinar, vein lokeach ala dinar echad, kofen osa lishchot. Even if the shor is worth 1,000 dinar and all you got is 1 dinar to spend, he has to shech it for you during these times of the year. Lefichach emes, mes lelokeach. Therefore, if it were to die, if the animal were to die, it's considered to die on the lokeach's cheshbon, because he's the one that is koned already. So meis lokeach, meaning if it dies, then it can't be kosher, obviously. Then it's just a nevela. So then it's the lokeach's problem. He's still going to owe the money. Meis lokeach halo mashach. What do you mean meis lokeach? He never did a kinyan on the animal. Why should it be considered as if it's his meat that became a nevela? So ravuna b'sham mashach. No, the case must be that he did a mashicha. But wait a second. If he did a Mashiach, then how does it go on to say that during the rest of the year, the halacha is not that way? That if it dies, it's the mocher's problem, and he's going to have to give you whatever meat you ordered. But you made a Mashiach, it's already yours. Why is it the mocher's problem if it dies? Now, obviously, we have to be talking about a case where you did not yet make a kinyan. No, he was mezake it to you through somebody else. So bedalit prakemelu dzuchus hulo zachen lo shalom b'fanav. During these 4 times a year, it's always considered a zuchus to have the meat, to gain ownership of the animal. So he says zachen lo shalom b'fanav. B'shayim osa shana d'chov hulo ein chavan lo el b'fanav. During the rest of the year, it's a chov for him, and therefore ein chavan el b'fanav. Rav Ilo amar b'yochvan bedalit prakemelu hamidu chacham divrein al divrei Torah. That during these 4 times of the year, the chacham or mamid divrein al divrei Torah, we follow the din d'oraisa. D'amar b'yochvan dvar Torah ma'us konos. On a daraisa level, all you need to make a kinyan is transference of money. Umbre ma amru mashicha konos. So why do they say that mashicha works? Because we're afraid that if I sell you a warehouse of grain, let's say, and you give me money for it, so now it's yours. So if a fire breaks out, I'm not going to try to save it because it's not mine anymore. It's going to be your problem. So I'll always just say to you, Nisru Chitach Baliyah, sorry, your stuff got burnt. It was already yours. So that's why Chazal said, and you know what? Giving money alone is not going to make the kinyan. We don't want the person who still has possession, physical possession of the item, to not be the owner of the item because he has no motivation at that point to protect it. So what's the point? The point was, the Gemara asks, why Rabbi Lazar allows the storekeeper to include the fellow in an Eruv if he didn't do a proper kinyan, like a mashiach on it? So the Gemara's answer is that Rabbi Lazar allows money alone to work as a kinyan in line with the din d'oraisa that minatara ma'os is konos. Just like we say on days before Rosh Hashanah, Shavuos, Pesach, Shmini Atzeres, and maybe even Yom HaKippurim, we allow money alone to be kona. We follow the din d'oraisa. So here also, we follow the din d'oraisa. Generally speaking, we have a takana. Money alone doesn't work because of gzeirah shaminisru chitach abaliyah. But there are certain times where we revert back to the din d'oraisa. So this case also, we revert back to the din d'oraisa. For the sake of making an eruv, we revert back to the din d'oraisa that giving the money alone is enough. At least according to Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that giving the money alone is enough. And the Mishnah went on to say, if you give the money to somebody else, then for sure it works. So man shar kaladim, what does it help to give to somebody else? So amrav balabai, who is this shar kaladim? Amrav balabais, v'chein amr shmuel balabais. It means you give it to stama balabas. Domr shmuel lo shanu ala nachtom. It's only a problem if you give the money to a baker, to someone who deals professionally with food. Aval balabais kona, but for a balabas to give it to a stam, your friend, then it does work. V'amr shmuel lo shanu ala ma'a aval kli kona. Shmuel also says it's only if you gave money. If you give a kli, that also works. V'amr shmuel lo shanu al darmer lo zachkeli aval amr arevli shliach shav yivakani. It's also only a problem if you say, I want you to be kona for me in the Erev. But if you say, make an Erev for me, so then you're making him your shliach, and whatever he does, he's working as your shliach. So giving money to a storekeeper won't work to join the Erev, according to the Chamim, but giving money to a balabayis does work. Giving a kli instead of money to acquire the food, which is a form of kinyan chalipin, it's not mos, now it's chalipin, you're giving a kli, that would work. Making the storekeeper a shliach to make the Erev instead of just trying to take ownership of the Eruv food also does work, because he can be your shliach. It's not an issue of kinyan over here. Amr Yehuda b'medvar mamur. So the Mishnah went on to say, when are we concerned about being ma'ariv shalol das of a person? That's only by eruvei tchumin. But by eruvei chatzeros, you don't need the das of a person because it's a zachon adam shalol b'fanav. Amr Yehuda b'mar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda b'mar Shmuel says we pasken like We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda v'lo od ella kol makom shashan Rabbi Yehuda be'erivin halacha kamoso. It's not only here, any place we have Rabbi Yehuda in Erevin, the halacha is always like Rabbi Yehuda. Amle Rav Chana Bagdasal Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel afilu b'mavoy shenitlu karoso v'alechiyav. Would he even say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, even in a case where the lechi or the korah is taken away from the mavoy? Samle be'erivin amarti lach v'lo b'mechitzas. We pass the Rabbi Yehuda here and in every other Mishnah where he discusses halachas of Neiruv, but not where he discusses halachas of a mechitza. Those aren't halachas of Neiruv, those are halachas of what qualifies as a valid mechitza. So the lechi, the kara, that we're not going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So we're right in the middle of something, but we should stop here, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up tomorrow in this discussion of when we assume Rabbi Yehuda is arguing and when we need to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda.